So as an introduction to Erevin, we'll see just a few comments by introduction, just some of the most important concepts that we'll have to know, the terminology in Erevin. First of all, we have to know about Rishuyos. So right, we have a Rishus Rabim, which is basically an open area with access to everyone. And not only that, it's not enough that it's open and accessible. It has to be noach tashmishta, which means it has to be very comfortable to use that area. You know, we're going to have various areas on the side of the highway where there are pegs and so forth that set it aside. That's not so comfortable to use it. So it has to be comfortable to use. Other conditions of Rishus Rabim, it has to be roofless. There can't be any roof on top. Once the roof on top, it's not Rishus Rabim. Another condition of Rishus Rabim is that it has to have the width of 16 amma. And all this is in Masechta Shabbos, and the reason why Erevin is right after Masechta Shabbos is because Erevin is really built on or continuation of Masechta Shabbos. Then we have something called the Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaYochid is a place that's mukaf mechitzos. It's surrounded with mechitzos. Now these mechitzos themselves have to have a minimum height of 10 tefachim. And when I was a kid, they used to say that a tefach is anywhere between 5 and 6 inches, like a half a foot. I don't know if they've changed that since then. So, right, a mechitza, any mechitza in halacha, anywhere, in sukkah or in Shabbos, has to be 10 tefachim minimum. Now what's unique about Rishus HaYochid is that it's Ola Adla Rakia. So once you have an area it has to have a width of 4 tefachim square, it has to have mechitzos that are 10 tefachim high, and that area that's set aside and surrounded by mechitzos is olad l'rakia. So for example, if a bird would fly over Rishus HaYochid all the way on top, or an airplane, it would be considered that it's in Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaRabim only goes up till 10 tefachim, and that gives us the third category, which is what's called a makom p'tur. Makom p'tur means a place that's absolutely faceless. You know, it doesn't have any identity of its own, and that's a Rishus HaRabim above 10 tefachim. And then finally, we have something called a karmelis. Okay, I don't know. Are you familiar with that term, karmelis? Okay, we'll just review it very quickly. A karmelis has a lot of similarities to Rishus HaRabim. It's an open area. It has no mechitzos. But on the other hand, it's kind of private. People don't go in there. Let's say, for example, you plant a field. So nobody's allowed into the field at that time. So that would make it into a place that, although technically it's a Rishus HaRabim in that it's theoretically accessible, but it's not accessible. For example, a sea. I mean, people do go out to the sea, and anyone could go out to the ocean, but it's not a very comfortable place to be in, and therefore it's not called Rishus HaRabim. On the other hand, it's not Rishus HaYochid because it's not surrounded by mechitzos, and the Rabbanan considered such a wide area that's accessible theoretically to the Rabbim as a karmelis, which means that it midrabbanan, it has the status of Rishus HaRabim, but yet it's also considered like Rishus HaYochid. In other words, it'll be what we call l'chumra l'kan or l'chumra l'kan. So this is all Gzeiras Chachamim, and we will superimpose all the chumras of both Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim on the place of Karmelis. So it means you would not be allowed to take something from Rishus HaRabim into a Karmelis or out of a Karmelis into Rishus HaRabim, because we're going to consider the Karmelis like Rishus HaYochid. On the other hand, you would not be allowed to take something from Rishus HaYochid into a Karmelis or from a Karmelis into Rishus HaYochid, because we're going to consider the Karmelis as Rishus HaRabim. So again, you get the raw deal on both ends of the stick. Now, Hotzah is one of the 39 Malachos that are prohibited on Shabbos. And this Masechta that we're learning is mostly built on the Iser Hotzah. So Hotzah means when I take something out of a Rishus HaYochid and put it into a Rishus HaRabim, I sort of expose it to the public eye, that's considered Hotzah. Okay, now, there are a number of concepts with regard to Mechitzos that I think we'll leave for now. I'll just mention them in the introduction, but again, each one has to be understood properly. One is called Lavud, and that means if there's an airspace between two objects that's less than three tefachim, we consider it as contiguous. Again, Lavud is going to be a major issue. Then something called Gaud. Gaud means that when we have a mechitza that goes only 10 tefachim, then we imagine that the mechitza went all the way up. So any kind of imaginary mechitza, which is not a physical mechitza that you could see, it's just a conceptual mechitza, that's called Gaud. Then there's another concept which is even more complicated called Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem. So if you have, for example, a roof, then we consider the part of the roof, the end of the roof, as if it goes down. Then we have something called the Tzuras HaPesach, where we have two poles going vertical and then one pole horizontal on top of the two poles, and that's considered like a Pesach. Now, a lot of these concepts are relevant to what we're going to start here, which is called a Mavui. So let's just say a few words about a Mavui. I actually have a diagram here of a Mavui, if you want to take a look at it, if you don't have that. And a Mavui means the following. You have a whole line of houses, but all the houses spill into a common courtyard. That common courtyard is called a Chatzer. And then from the Chatzer, so you could have, let's say, on the right side a whole bunch of buildings, houses, homes, and everything spilling into a chatzer. That chatzer will enter into an opening, into a mavui. You could have on the left side a whole bunch of houses, one after the other. They all spill into a common courtyard, a chatzer, and that chatzer has an opening into the same mavui. So you have people spilling in to the mavui, which is like an alleyway, a major alleyway, from both the right side and the left side. So if you follow, the batim are set up like this, you know, on both the right and side, and then you have this mavui, which is, now the mavui is the way that the people from all these homes will ultimately get into the public domain, into the Rishus HaRabim. And here we have two categories of mavui. One mavui is called mefulash. Are you familiar with that? Okay, if we find this thing, we'll be in good shape. Oh, okay, this is called mefulash. So mefulash means that, again, I would have to clear off this spot here, but basically here are all your homes, right, on this side and on that side. And then After all these occupants will spill into a chatzer, right? So that's on both sides of chatzer, and then into a mavui. Okay, so there'll be openings here and openings here, and you're in a mavui. A mavui mefulash means that the Rishus HaRabim is here and here, and it's not closed on either side. Then we have what's called a mavui sasum. Right? Sasum. This is the opposite of a mefulash, and that means that on one side it's completely closed. So there's a wall here. And now the mavui goes this direction, and here's your Rishus HaRabim. Now, in the case that we're going to deal with today, we're dealing with what's called a mavui sasum. So it's closed on one side with a wall, and it's open on the other side, spilling into Rishus HaRabim. Now, what is the status of the mavui? So it's really interesting. On a Doraisa level, believe it or not, this is a Rishus HaYochid. It's a private domain. That seems counterintuitive because, after all, look at all these people. You could have gigantic high-rises, and there are thousands of people using this mavui. Why is it a Rishus HaYochid? And the answer is because this wall here that makes it sasum is a mechitza, which means that it has the width of, let's say, 4 tefachim, and has the height of 10 tefachim. And these two walls also form a mechitza. Don't be bothered by the fact that there are openings in these walls, gateways, and so on, to lead into the mavui. So you now have this mavui is mukaf three mechitzas. And according to the strict Doraisa law, three out of four mechitzas is enough. In Sukkah, you don't even need three matzitzah, but that's a special halacha in Sukkah. But as far as Rishus HaYachid for Hotzah is concerned, you need three matzitzahs. So this is really Rishus HaYachid. There should be no problem on a Doraisa level for any of these people to carry here in the Mavud. But the Rabbanon considered it like a Rishus HaRabim in a sense. And the reason for that is because so many people are having access to this Mavli from all these homes on both sides. So therefore they required an Eruv. And the Eruv is one of two things in this case of a Mavli. It's either a Lechi or a Korah. I don't have to write that, do I? No. Okay. So a Lechi would be like a pole that goes up. We'll talk about the height and the width of the pole. And that's going to be over here at the entrance from Rosh Hashanah into the Mavui, or a Korah. A Korah would be a beam that goes across. So those are your two options. Now we're not sure exactly what the purpose of the Korah or the Lechi, and against one or the other, you don't need both. One way of understanding it is that's a Heker. Heker means it is meant to remind people that this area has been set off as Rishus HaYachid, you know, it's a private domain. The other possibility is that it really serves as a kind of mechitza, as if to say we're putting up a fourth mechitza. But that has to be ironed out, because it might work for a lechi, depending on the width of the lechi, but it doesn't seem to work for the Korah, that the Korah would be a fourth mechitza. If, on the other hand, we have what's called the Tzuras HaPesach, which would mean that going in here we have a vertical and another vertical right and left, and then a horizontal on top, that could really be a fourth mechitza. So that's something that's really futuristic for us, you know, as we start Masechta Eruv.
Can you draw the chosen where the chatzer is in that diagram?
The chatzer? Yeah, the chatzer would be here, this area here. You know, I should use a different color here for the front.
I thought those would
be really sophisticated. I have green for that, right? Right? So this area is called a chatzer. Oh, doesn't work for me. Anyway, this is a chatzer.
It's like a backyard.
Right? And all these houses lead into that chatzer. And here's another chatzer here. And then from the chatzer, you go through these different openings into the mud.
Okay, thank you.
All right? So that's one thing. All right. Now, this is also very futuristic, but we also have a different type of an Eruv, which is called an Eruv Tchumen. That has nothing to do with Mavu.
Right, right.
I mean, the word Eruv is just a borrowed term.
Right.
And that has to do with the fact that on Shabbos we're not allowed to walk more than 2,000 amas outside the city limits unless we put an Eruv out there. So if you really have to go beyond the 2,000 amma, you put an Erev. That's called Mazon Shtei Sudos.
Yes.
And that's called an Erev Tchumen. Again, that's very, very futuristic. And for that, we also have to learn Masechta Beitzah.
Right.
So let's talk about a Mavui, right? So that's the main topic of the first perek of Erevin is a Mavui. And I'm reading here from the introduction to Masechta Erevin here in the Schottenstein. And he points out that at the time of Chazal, the homes were built around a common chatzer, and the people would spill out from their homes into this chatzer, and from the chatzer they go through a petach into a mavui. And he calls a mavui, in modern Hebrew, a simta. Simta is a rechov katan. You know, it's I would call it an alleyway, right? That's my terminology.
Modern Hebrew, they use that term.
Yeah. So there are many, many different chatzeros that open into this common alleyway. And from the alleyway, they go out to Rishus HaRabim, as we said before. And then we have the difference here between Mavui Mefulash, as we spoke about, which is open on both sides into Rishus HaRabim. And the other is the Mavui Sasum, which is the subject of our discussion today, which is closed on one side. And since it's closed on one side, it really, the Mavui itself is an area that's surrounded by three Mechitzos, which according to most Rishonim, apparently not all Rishonim, but most Rishonim hold that makes it into a Rishus HaYochid. And you'd be allowed to carry in the Mavui according to Torah law. because the Torah says that only in a Rishus HaRam you're not allowed to carry more than 4 Amos. That's called Mavir Dalan Amos Rishus HaRam. But we're talking about a Rishus HaYochid, but the Chachamim said you're not allowed to carry in a Mavir unless you do an Eruv. And what is this Eruv? That in the fourth side, which is the open side, where it opens into Rishus HaRabim and there's no Mechitza, you set up either a Lechi or a Korah, or the best of all possibilities would be a Tzuras HaPesach. A Lechi is going to be a Tikkun for a Mavui. Now that word Tikkun is going to come up over and over again. It is not a halachic term in a sense, but it is a halachic term. It's called a Tikkun. So Tikkun, as you know, means to fix something up, right? And what it means is that the Rabbanan created an Iser, and you want to remove that Iser. So whenever you want to give a verb, a description of how you remove the Iser, use the word Tikkun. So the Tikkun of a Mavui is either with a Lechi or a Korah. So what is a Korah and what is a Lechi? He says the following. Lechi, which, as we said before, is going to be this vertical pole that he puts at the open fourth side, which is the side that enters into, spills into Rishus HaRabim. So that has a height of 10 tefachim. So we've used this concept of 10 tefachim a few times today. Let's just review. We spoke about Rishus HaYochid that has to have mechitzos that are 10 tefachim. We spoke about the fact that Rishus HaRabim only goes up 10 tefachim from the ground. And now we're speaking about the height of a lechi to be metake in a mavui, and that lechi is 10 tefachim high. Now, as far as the width or the thickness of the lechi, there's no minimum requirement. Ein shir lerochbo liovyo. The lechi must be situated within 3 tefachim. Okay, now we get 3 tefachim. Until now, we've always been talking about 4 tefachim. Now we talk about 3 tefachim. Hasmuchim lekotel hamavui. So again, you have a kotel on the right side, a wall, or a kotel on the left side. It matters not. You know, you choose which kotel you're interested in. But within a very close proximity of that wall, you set up the lech. Now, the lechi doesn't necessarily have to be standing on the ground. It could be attached to the kosel and lifted up from the ground, but it has to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. So there cannot be airspace from the ground until the lechi of 3 tefachim. It's got to be that the lechi dips below 3 tefachim, and as I said, the lechi has to be 10 tefachim high. So let's say if you would set up your lechi 2 tefachim above the karka, so to speak, it's suspended in midair, you would have the top of the lechi at a minimum of 12 tefachim. I'm saying if it's 2 tefachim above the ground. If the lechi is on the ground, then all you need is 10 tefachim. And there's no shear, as we said, to the rochav or the ovi. What else? Fine, that we said. Then we have something called a korah. That's another option of a tikkun mavui. And all this is the agenda, the purpose of a tikkun in the case of a mavui is to allow you to carry in the mavui, because the Rabbanan said that this mavui looks too much like Rishus HaRabim, which you're not allowed to carry in more than 4 hours, so therefore we're going to treat the mavui as if it was Rishus HaRabim. We're going to say you're not allowed to carry in the mavui unless you do this tikkun mavui either through a lechi or a korah. Now, what are the dimensions of the korah, and where is the korah located? So, number one, the location of the korah is above the Pesach. So, everything here is at that point. Again, I would have drawn it a little bit better, but I didn't want to take the time to erase everything that's on the board. But you understand, this is the point of meeting between the Rishus HaRabim and the Mavui. So when you go into the Mavui from the Rishus HaRabim, at that point when you enter, you can have a Lechi, if you want to use Lechi for your Tikkun, which is on the right side within 3 tefachim of the wall, or on the left side within 3 tefachim of the wall, it matters not, it's 10 tefachim high. Or alternatively, forget the Lechi, you have a Korah that goes from one Kotel to the other Kotel at the entranceway into the Mavui. What else do we have to know about a Korah? the korah has to be at least tefach vi olel lios munachas lerochav kol pesach. Okay, so I'm not sure what he means here, but in any event, just to make life simple, because we're not going to discuss korah today, most of what we're going to discuss is what a mavu is, and the korah has to be a minimum of a tefach, but it really has to cover the width of the entire opening into this mavui. So that's the korah on top. Now, how high up is the korah? That's going to be the subject of our first mishnah. He says very often the Gemara is going to deal with the question whether lechi or korah is for reason X or reason Y. X is called a mechitza, that the Chachamim wanted to set up a fourth mechitza in the mavui to allow you to carry in the mavui, because even though the Torah allows you to carry in the mavui, the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to carry in the mavui unless you put up a fourth mechitza. They want to see a fourth mechitza so that no one thinks it's a rishus harabim, because again, as we said before, you're not allowed to carry four amas in a rishus harabim. So how do we set up this fourth mechitza? So what we do is we do a lechi or a korah, and that's considered, all this is on the Rabbanan level, as a fourth mechitza. That's one way of understanding lechi or korah, what we call tikkun mavui. The other way of understanding tikkun mavui is called heker. Heker means that the Rabbanan made this enactment of setting up a lechi or a korah so that it be clear to everyone, to the spectator, that there's a clear difference here between the mavui and rishus harabim. So when you see this lechi, you're meant to remind yourself, hey, this is a mavui, it's not a rishus harabim. I'm allowed to carry in here because of its unique, you know, name or identity as a mavui. I shouldn't be thinking in my mind that I'm entering into an extension of the rishus harabim, because if so, if that whole area called a mavui is rishus harabim, I'm not allowed to carry from my house into the mavui. Again, we're not talking now about taking something from the mavui out into rishus harabim. That for sure is going to be prohibited, because the Torah considers a rishus hayochid, and you cannot carry from rishus hayochid into rishus harabim. That would be a violation of otzah d'oraisa. But as far as carrying in the mavui itself, from one part of the mavui to the other, or from my house into the mavui, I'm going to make that mavui into a rishus hayochid. It is a rishus hayochid. It's got three mechitzos. But the Rabbanan wanted to make it into a super duper rishus hayochid by adding what? A fourth mechitza, or alternatively by setting up a heker that people should realize that this is a mavui, it's not a rishus harabim, and that's going to remind them that they're not allowed to be metaltel in a rishus harabim, because they're only allowed to be metaltel in a mavui. Okay, so let's begin Masechta Erevin. The Mishnah starts with mavui. We're talking now about a mavui sasum, so it's not mefulash. It's not open on both sides into rishus harabim. It's closed on one side. And many chatzeros are spilling into this mavui. And again, it has three mechitzos because it's sasum. It's open on the fourth side into rishus harabim. And the Rabbanan require a tikkun of, let's take a korah at this point, we'll discuss a korah on top of the pesach in order to allow you to carry in the mavui. Where did he put his korah? Well, guess what? He messed up. Shehu gavola malam yesrim amah. He put the korah too high up. It's above 20 amah. Now, let's say an amah is approximately, again, the many shittas here, somewhere between 18 or 20 inches and 24 inches. Multiply that by 20. It's probably like the equivalent of a second story, or maybe even higher than a second story. And if the purpose of the korah is heker, that people should be able to see the korah, well, it's too high up. So what do you do in this case? The Mishnah says you might. You might means that he has to lower the korah. Now, literally, the word you might doesn't mean to lower something. You might means to diminish. What we have to do is diminish the distance between the karka, meaning the ground, and this korah. Because right now there's a 20 amma, distance between the ground and the korah. So we have to diminish that. But what basically that means is that we have to lower the korah. Okay, so once we lower the korah, and now it becomes within 10 amos, so we got to lower it by 10 amos, then it becomes a tikkun mavli. It becomes a korah that effectively allows you to carry in the mavli. The Gemara is going to explain why 20 amos is unacceptable. Now, one question we have to ask is, why does it say 20 amos? Maybe it should have said 11 amos or 10 point plus, 10 in a mashu. Why the emphasis on 20 amos? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Tzarech. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even if the korah is 20 amah above the ground, it's fine. It's metaken, it's matir, the tiltal in the mav. And the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time trying to understand the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda about 20 amah. Whether 20 amah is acceptable, that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, or the Chachamim shita that disqualify a korah that's 20 amah. Now, when we talk about the opening from Rishus HaRabim into the mavui, a normal opening into a mavui, forget about halacha for a second, just in general, in terms of the sociology of that time, the opening into the mavui was, generally speaking, less than 10 amos. And the Mishnah wants to know what happens if you have an opening that's more than 10 amos. Rochav me eser amos. So let's say it's 11 amos wide, this whole opening into the mavui. You might. Then what he has to do is he has to set up curtains or something that will shorten, diminish this opening from being more than 10 amos to make sure it's less than 10 amos, because the shear of the width of the opening into the mavui has to be up to but not beyond 10 amos. And the reason for that is because if the opening is this unusually wide opening, then that's not called a Pesach. It's not called a Pesach. Okay, now the key word here, which we didn't even mention until now, but we'll add it to our lexicon here, is that you could be mesaken a mavui if the mavui has a Pesach. What is the flip side of a Pesach? Meaning, what's the antonym, the opposite of a Pesach? The opposite of a Pesach is called a Pirtza, if you want to make note of that. I'll spell it for you. Pirtza is Pei, Yud, Resh, Sadi, He. And a Pirtza would seem to be like an extension of Rishus HaRabim. It's almost as if the Rishus HaRabim enters into this mavui. The mavui loses its unique status as a mavui, which lends itself to tikkun, and it becomes part of, it's swallowed up by the Rishus HaRabim. The mavui has to be a separate entity unto itself, with its own identity. And it can't be a pirtza in which it's like open, totally open from the Rishus HaRabim into the mavui. The mavui becomes a little bit of a separate area because its opening is up to but not beyond 10 amos. However, the exception to this rule is what's called Tzuras HaPesach. And if you recall, the Tzuras HaPesach was the two vertical planks, that go up, or poles, if you want to call that, plus with a horizontal pole on top. And that Tzuras HaPesach allows you to change a pirtza into a Pesach, such that the mavui now is called a mavui. It's not a pirtza, it's not an extension of Rishus HaRabim, but it has an identity of its own as a mavui, which we could be metaking. So again, just to review the last part of what we learned, Tzuras HaPesach has a special role in Erevin as far as being Matir or Mavui, because whereas a Korah and a Lechi will not help you if the opening into the Mavui is 10 Amos or wider, because that's called a Pirtza. However, here's where the efficacy of a Tzuras HaPesach comes to the fore, and if you set up a Tzuras HaPesach, then Afal Pishu Rochav Me'aser Amos Ain Tzorch L'mai.
Question?
Yeah, please.
So, in other words, you have the opening to the Mavui,
right?
And it's more than 10 Amos wide. The Tzuras Pesach is two posts and a thing over within the entranceway?
At the entranceway.
At the entranceway, but so you have the entrance. So, let's say this is the entranceway here.
Right.
Or this is the entranceway here, right? So, here's your Mavui. All right?
And I lost you. Where's the Mavui?
Here and here. Forget this. Here, right?
Yeah.
Now I build a Tzuras Pesach, which is two posts with a crossbar, and I put it in between. So it can be in between any place?
No, I think it has to be, again, within a certain close distance called three tefachim of each of the two walls of the Mavui. Okay then. Now we're going to start the Gemara.
Let's back up.
Yeah, go ahead.
So a Mavui, it has to be all walls. It can't just be a fence.
Three walls, right? It's got. Oh, it could be a fence as well. When you talk about a fence, you may have to introduce other concepts like lavud, because sometimes a fence has holes in it.
Right.
You know, kotel usually is considered something.
But it's defined by two walls on either side.
Plus, because we're talking about a sasum and a third wall that closes off the mobile on one side. So now the Gemara goes into a comparison between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Sukkah. The Mishnah begins Masechta Sukkah with the same kind of almost mirror image of our Mishnah, namely, what happens if you put the schach on top of the defanos above 20 amos? And we said that in terms of a korah, above 20 amos is possible, it's not acceptable. In Sukkah it also says that if the schach is above 20 amos from the ground, it's unacceptable. But here's the difference between the two Mishnayos. The Mishnayos are almost carbon copies of each other, with one difference. Tanan Hasam, the beginning of Sukkah, it says, Sukkah she gvoa lemala me'asrim amah psula. Now, that's not what it says in our Mishnah with regard to a Korah. In our Mishnah, it says if it's above 20 amah, you might. Correct? You might means fix it up by lowering it. In Sukkah, the Mishnah doesn't even bother telling you what you can do in this case. You know, you have this Sukkah, you made a big mistake, and you put the schach above 20 amah. What do you do now? The Mishnah is silent on that question. Rabbi Yehuda is not bothered by Lamala Me'asrim amah, as we saw here in our Mishnah of Korah on a Mavui. But Mishna, what's the difference? Gabi Sukkah, the Tani Psula. All it tells you in the case of Sukkah is that since it's above 20 amah, that's it. It's an invalid Sukkah. But Gabi Mavui, with regard to Mavui Tani, it says in the Mishnah, Takanta. It recommends you, recommends your solution to the problem. So the Gemara offers a number of answers. Let's see the first answer. First answer is Sukkah Doraisa Tani Psula Mavui Drabanan Tani Takanta. Now this is if you translate this Gemara word for word, it's somewhat ambiguous. Meaning, I don't mean it's ambiguous, but I mean to say it really doesn't seem to give us Menuchas HaNefesh as to why this would make a difference. But the Gemara is talking about Sukkah as a Doraisa and Mavui as a Drabanan. When it comes to a Doraisa, and the Mishnah wants to tell you that since the Schach is above 20 Amah, it's an invalid Sukkah, all the Mishnah has to tell you is Psula. That's what interests us as far as the Sukkah is concerned, because the Sukkah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? Sukkah d'oraisa. The Torah says, basukas teishu shivas yom, you have to sit in the Sukkah. And from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, you were not permitted to sit in a Sukkah that's 20 amah high. The schach is 20 amah high. And that's called pasul. In other words, Pasul means shelo kiddin. Shelo kiddin means it's not according to the halachic requirements. So the Tana wants to tell us that that it's pasul. Yeah, you want to know how to fix it up? We're not gonna address that question. That's left out of the Mishnah in Sukkah. Why? Because Sukkah is Doraisa. But Mavu is the Rabbanon, because again, as far as Torah is concerned, we said that since the Mavu is Sosom, it has three Mechitzos, and that's enough to allow you to carry the in the Mavu Doraisa, it has the status of Rishus HaYochid, is Tani Takanta. Here, the Mishnah is going to employ a language which indicates how you fix up the the incorrect Korah. It's not going to use the language of psul, because since the whole din of so let me try to explain this. Let me try to explain this the way Rashi I think explains it. There's a very long Rashi here, but the point of the Rashi is to tell you the following: that in a case of a derabbanon, like a mavui, a tikkun mavui through a korah, we don't know bichlal that there is such a din of requiring a korah, right? In the case of sukkah, we have the pasuk in chumash. You know, we start with the verse in the Torah. That's a given. Even before we get to the Mishnah, which is authored by Rav Yehuda Nasi, we have a pasuk that says you have to sit in a sukkah. Comes along the Mishnah to tell you whether your sukkah is kshera or psula, and if the schach is above 20 amma, then the sukkah is psula. But Rashi points out that when we get to mavui and what we call korah, the Mishnah is really telling you something that you never knew before, because there's no basis in the Torah for this korah. So what does Tani Takanta mean? Why does the Mishnah not say posel? And the answer is because the word posel would be inappropriate. Why? The word posel means that you have a given requirement, and you did it this way, we can call it posel. So in the case of sukkah, the Torah requires you to build a sukkah and sit in the sukkah. You did it this way, the schach's too high, it's posel. But in the case of a mavui, where the whole institution is an enactment which was created by the Chachamim, there's an Issur Tiltul in a mavui unless you put up a korah. We have no basis in the Torah, we have no other source for this. The Mishnah is not going to tell you posel on something that you don't even know exists. The Mishnah has to tell you the Ikar Adin. So the word posel is inappropriate. When I say the Ikar Adin, I have to tell you a new din. I have to introduce a whole new concept that you're not aware of, because you have not been introduced to this concept anywhere else before this. So the Mishnah wants to tell you a takana. Takana means that you have to be metaken, you have to fix up this mavu. That's what really the Mishnah is telling you. So the word yamayit here in this Mishnah is telling you that this takana, that you have to fix up this mavu, it cannot be achieved if the korah is above 20 amma. That's the best I could do with this Rashi. Again, it's a long, long Rashi. We can read parts of it inside. Rashi says psula, and if you have the same Gemara that I have, that Rashi psula is right below that little diagram that Rashi made to illustrate it, Tzuras HaPesach. Rashi says psula, hoil ukfar mimos Moshe Rabbeinu, mimos Moshe, nitna midazu. And I think what he means by midazu, he means the concept of a sukkah. So Moshe Rabbeinu already gave us in the Torah a concept called sukkah, but what is the midah? You know, we don't know exactly what this sukkah looks like. I mean, the Torah says you have to sit in the sukkah, but what are the dimensions of the sukkah? Where the schach and so forth? Bo chacham lefarish lecha. So the chacham are only just telling you which sukkah is a valid sukkah. Shem lo asa kein. You know, what is the X requirement that if you didn't do X, not X, is the sukkah is psula? And therefore the language of Pasos is appropriate in the case of Sukkah. The Afogav de Mahanyabe Takanto, there's no doubt that you could lower the schach, and once you lower the schach below 20 yama, you're fine, the sukkah is kosher, but kol kama de lo mitaking la ikre psula. In other words, this sukkah, which Moshe Rabbeinu taught us in the Torah about, if you have the sukkah above 20 yama, it remains psula until you fix it up. But mavui, the chol ikra derabbanan hu lo shayach lemeber b'loshen paslus, it would make sense to say that the korah here, in order to fix up the mavui, is invalid. Shreikan ischilu laroscha iske mavui, right here in this Mishnah, the Mishnah is telling you, presenting to you something new that had never been presented to you. You've never seen or have any encounter or contact with this concept of mavui. Vitorosov and its purpose and its laws. Umay psul shaykh lemeimar. How can I tell you it's possible when I haven't even told you that the Rabbanon required this entity called a Korah? Izakati lo diacha Rabbanon shi urei bahachi. Is the listening imlo osakein possible? It couldn't be that the Rabbanon would say, if you didn't do this, it's possible. What do you mean, didn't do this? I mean, tell me first, introduce the concept of a mavui. That's what I see in Rashi. Mm-hmm. Now we get to the Ibai Sam. The Gemara has another answer to this, in a sense, discrepancy between the Mishnah at the beginning of Sukkah, which just says Psula, and our Mishnah at the beginning of Erefin, which says Yemayit. Says the Gemara, Doraisa nami tani takanta. Even in the case of Sukkah, it would be appropriate for the Mishnah in Sukkah to teach me takanta. In other words, tell me if my schach is too high, tell me you might, that you should lower the schach, even though it's apostle Doraisa. So why didn't the Mishnah bother doing that? Here in the Mishnah in Erevin it says you might. Ella says the Gemara, Sukkah de nefishe mile. It doesn't make sense to give me a recommendation as to how to fix up the sukkah with regard to the height, right? The overextended height of the schach without telling me how to fix up all the sukkahs. Like, let's say, for example, I have a sukkah that's so small, it's below Asar Tfachim, like a little doggy house, right? Or let's say I have a sukkah that only has two walls and not a third wall. Or a sukkah where the sun is beating down on top of the sukkah and it's Chamsa Merubsa Mitzelsa. I mean, there are a whole list of different kinds of what we call tikkunim is Pasik Vitani Psula. So the Mishnah uses that language of Psula, and if you want to know how to fix up a sukkah, we'll be learning that during the course of all of Masechta Sukkah. The introduction to sukkah only has to tell you that you have a problem here because your schach was too high. But there are many, many issues in sukkah, many, many conditions and requirements in sukkah. That's called nafish mile. The Mishnah is not going to now give you a whole list of all the recommendations, all the necessary tikkunim in order to fix up a sukkah so it'd be a valid sukkah. However, in the case of mavui, lo nafish mile, there are no requirements in a mavui. The only requirement of a mavui is that it shouldn't be above 20 amah. So the Mishnah just has to say the word yamait, and that would tell me the whole story. In the case of sukkah, to tell you the whole story about how to fix up your sukkah, I would need to give you a longer, you know, a long presentation to go through many, many different requirements and psulim in sukkah and how you fix up those psulim. But here, in the case of the mavui, all I have to tell you is that make sure that your korah is not above 20 amah. It's tani takanta, so the Mishnah says you might, you know, make it lower than 20 amah. Om Rav Yudom Arav. Now the Gemara wants to understand what's the problem with a korah that's above 20 amah, and why does Rav Yudah ignore that problem? Why is he not impressed by that problem? Now, in order to introduce this sugya, we really need a couple of diagrams, which I don't have here. One is the diagram of the Mishkan, and one be a diagram of the Beis HaMikdash. But let's just suffice it by saying the following: that there was a Pesach, there was a Heichal, and then there was something called the Ulam. Now, the Heichal was like the inner chambers of the Beis Hamikdash. You know, you're really getting into the very, holy, holy places. In fact, if you go into the Heichal and you go too far, you'll end up in the Kodesh Kadoshim. So this is the inner part of the Beis Hamikdash. It's called the Heichal. What was the purpose of the Heichal? The Heichal had within it a special Mizbeach called the Mizbeach HaZohav, a golden Mizbeach. It had also the candelabra, right, the menorah. And it had also the Aron. You know, so the many very holy things that were inside the Heichal. Then we have something called the Ulam. The Ulam, which is that's the structure of the Beis Hamikdash before the Heichal. If you've ever seen, like, did you ever go to, what was it called? The name of that hotel, it's no longer that hotel. Maybe they moved it to the Waldorf, I don't know where they moved it to. But there used to be a model of the Beis Hamikdash. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The Holy Land.
It's. I think they moved it from the Holy Land.
Yes.
But I don't remember where it is now.
It's now in the museum.
Oh, it's in the Israel Museum. Okay, so I remember seeing it more than once in the Holy Land.
Yes.
But anyway, any classic picture, you'll see these books about the Beis Hamikdash. They have a picture of the Beis Hamikdash on the outside cover. You know what I'm saying? I don't have one here to show you. But you'll see that the Beis Hamikdash has a very high point, and then it has a lower point, so to speak.
That's on the rooftop of the Eisha Torah building opposite the Kodesh.
Yeah, okay, I'm not sure if we're going to take a field trip to the Eisha Torah building, but you know what I'm talking about. So that higher point is called the Ulam. Okay? And the lower point is the opening into the Heichal. Each one of those two has a Pesach, and each one of those two has a ceiling. And the question is, what's the height of that ceiling? Now, depending upon whether you're talking about Heichal, which has a lower ceiling, or the Ulam, which is a very high ceiling, that's going to determine the height of the Korah, according to the two Shitos of the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda, respectively. Meaning, the Chachomim are going to go for the lower height, which is the height of the Pesach HaHeichal, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to go for the higher Pesach, which is the Pesach of the Ulam. So that's what we're going to learn now. It says the following: Omar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Chachomim, meaning the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that require that the Korah be up to but not beyond 20 Amah, Lolam Dua Ela Mipischo Shel Heichal. In other words, the height of the Korah should, in a sense, mirror image the height of the gateway into the Heichal. Now, the gateway into the Heichal had a height of 20 Amma, as we're going to learn in the sugya. So they're going to pattern the requirement of a Korah for a Mavui after the Korah, after the kirui, meaning the ceiling of the Pesach HaHeichal. Do you follow? The Pesach HaHeichal is the opening into the Heichal, which you went into only on rare occasions, you know, for a specific purpose, like for the Ketores or the Candelabra. But the opening into the Heichal had a height of 20 Amma. And we're going to mirror image the Korah after the height of the ceiling of the Pesach HaHeichal. Okay then, and that is 20 Amma. Rabbi Yehuda Lolam Dua Ela Mipischo Shel Ulam. Rabbi Yehuda says that we should pattern the Korah after the opening into the Ulam. The opening into the Ulam was actually 40 Amma high, twice the height. This nine, we learned it in Mishnah. Now all the laws and the measurements of the Beis Hamikdash are codified in a Masechta called Midos. I think, Don, you were with me when we learned Zvachim. Very often, you know, in Zvachim, you know, about the Mizbeach and so forth, we had to quote full Mishnayos and Midos. And here's a Mishnah in Midos, in the fourth parak of Midos, it says, Pischo shel Heichal Govo Eser Ma'ama, Rochbo Eser Ama. So that's also interesting. The width going, you know, from we'll call it east to west, if you follow. I mean, that was Eser Amos. So that we said also that in the case of a Bavli, if it's more than Eser Amos, you're going to need a Tzuras HaPesach, if you remember. Anyway, the Pischal Shel Ulam Gavar Boyim Amos V'Rochbo Esrim Amos. So it's just twice the height and twice the width. So the Chachamim are going to derive the halach of Korah in our Mishnah from the Pesach HaHechal, and that's going to mean a max of 20 amos in height. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to derive the din of Korah from the Pesach HaUlam, which gives me a lot more height, twice the height. So Rav explains the following: Ushneim Mikra Echad Darshu, and they both derived it from the same pasuk. Now this pasuk in Vayikra Gimel is addressing the parasha of Karban Shlamim. Right, the Torah starts with at the beginning of Vayikra, Karban Ola, and so when you get to the third chapter of Vayikra, we'll get to it in a month or so, a little bit more than a month. So we'll have the parasha of Shlamim in the third chapter of Vayikra, and there it says Ushchato Pesach Ol Moed. So you want to emphasize the word Pesach. Because again, we want to derive Pesach in a Mavui from Pesach in the Ol Moed. The Ol Moed is a reference to the Mishkan. Now, which Pesach is the Torah talking about? Rabbanan Savre, Kedushas Heichal Lechud, Kedushas Ulam Lechud. They hold that the sanctity of the Ulam and the sanctity of the Heichal are two separate entities in Halacha. The Heichal has the sanctity of Oel Moed. And when the Torah says Ushchato Pesach Oel Moed, therefore it's referring to the Pesach of the Heichal. The Ulam has a different Kedusha, different sanctity on a lower level. As I told you before, the Heichal is already, you know, the inner sanctuary, that's where you're getting close to the Kodesh Kedoshim. So there are certain avodos that can only be performed in the Heichal. So let's say, for example, you were to take out the candelabra out of the Heichal and put it in the Ulam, then lighting the candelabra in that place, since it's not located in the Heichal, would be Psua. Well, let's say you would burn the Ketores, you know, on the Mizbach on the Choshes instead of the Mizbach HaZov, which was in the Heichal, then it would not be a fulfillment of the Mitzvah. So the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Heichal, is the sanctity of Ol Moed. And therefore the Pesach here, that the Torah is referring to, in terms of Pesach Ol Moed, is the Pesach of the Heichal. That's what the Chachamim hold. So therefore, V'chi Ksiv, when the Torah says Pesach Ol Moed, a Heichal Ksiv. Because if you're talking about the Ulam, which is on a low level of Kedusha, you would never call it Pesach Ol Moed. Ol Moed indicates, you know, the real McCoy, the highest level of Kedusha. And that would only be referring to, and only could be referring to the Heichal. Okay? Now this Pesach is 20 Amos high. And that we saw already in the Mishnah that says, Pischo shel Heichal Govo Esrim Amos. Rabbi Yehuda Sora Heichal V'ulam Kedusha Achasi. And what that means is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if any avoda that you'd have to do if in an ideal situation inside the Heichal was done in the Ulam area of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be acceptable. Again, it's not your perfect, ideal l'chatchila way of doing it, but the Ulam is also an extension of the Kedusha the Heichal. And the Kedusha's Heichal, according to Rabbi Yehuda, expands. It expands. It's something that in Kedusha is very, very common in the halachic universe. Kedusha expands. Probably Yerushalayim is really the expansion of the Kedushas Migdash. And Eretz Yisrael is probably the expansion of the Kedushas Yerushalayim. Again, that's a long discussion. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Kedushas Heichal expands beyond its walls and encompasses the Ulam. And if any avoda that has to be done in the Heichal, if it was done in the Ulam, would be Ksheira. So then we go back to the Pasuk Pesach Ol Moed. Well, even the Ulam is called Ol Moed because the Ulam has the same level of Kedusha as what? As the Heichal. V'chiksiv Pesach Ol Moed atravayuhu d'ksiv. So the concept of Pesach here, in terms of Ol Moed, includes even the Pesach of the Ulam, which we know is 40 Amos high. So again, what we're using a pasuk in the Torah in Vayikra, which describes the avoda of the Karban Shlamim, but there it says Pesach, and that's going to be a borrowed term here in Mavui, because we want to get that Pesach Mavui and define the Mavui as a separate area that's set off from Rishus HaRab. So how do we get the Pesach of the Mavui? Well, it depends on what's the Pesach Le'ol Moed. If y'all like the Tanakhama, then the Pesach Le'ol Moed is what is the Pesach of the Heichal. That's up to but not beyond 20 hours. If you're going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda that the Pesach Le'ol Moed is the Pesach of the Ulam, then it goes beyond 20 Amma, and it goes even as high up as 40 Amma. Okay, we're going to have to stop in a minute. Let's just read one more line. V'ibayis Ema, Rabbi Yehuda Nami, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Kedushas Ulam Lechud, Kedushas Heichal Lechud, that there's two separate entities of Kedusha. But Hacha, here in the case of Amavui, Haini Tamid Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's logic is Tifsiv. There's another pasuk. Now this pasuk doesn't really exist. That's what Tosus is going to be bothered by. But anyway, let's talk about this fictitious pasuk that says El Pesach Ulam Habayis. So you see that the word Pesach is used specifically to refer to the Ulam in this pasuk. Even though, again, as we said before, the pasuk of El Pesach Ol Moed is referring to the Heichal, and even Rabbi Yehuda holds it's referring to the Heichal. And Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the Kedusha of the Ulam is a low level Kedusha compared to the Kedusha of the Heichal. But there's another pasuk that gives us the, shall I say, the license to identify Pesach as Pesach Ulam. And based on that pasuk, we can say that the word Pesach could refer to a Pesach that has a higher ceiling than beyond 20 Amma, and that's as far as the Korah is concerned for deriving from Pesach Ulam. But again, you know, the problem is that we don't have such a Pesach called Pesach Ulam. So I think we're running out of time, and I apologize, but we'll have to pick this up tomorrow, Bli Neder, and we'll talk a little bit about, more about the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. But I think we got a lot of the basics down, not all of them, but certainly I think a good solid beginning for Masechta Eruv.
Are you catching an election day tomorrow?
Yeah, I wasn't planning to cancel Shiur for election day because I think I'll probably vote sometime during the course of the day, okay. You know, if that's okay.